Everyone, welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 28. The purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming Black real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Shout out to our show sponsors, Mint Inc. Mint stands for the Minority Interdisciplinary Networking Team. Mint empowers young minority professionals with an interdisciplinary network for learning, collaboration, and the development of entrepreneurial ventures. You can become a member of their network for free at mintinc-usa.com. And you can also follow them on Instagram at mintinc_USA. A couple quick things before we get into today's episode. I'm planning to make an offer on another house in Dayton, Ohio. I've been connecting with my realtor, just looking at different deals. So this one, we're offering a bit below the asking price. So we'll see how that works out. If I end up getting it under contract and all that good stuff, I'll definitely keep y'all posted. Don't forget to leave us a rating and a comment. It'll help us to reach more people and to move up in the rankings. So really appreciate it. Preferably a 5-star review if you enjoy the podcast. We're also on Twitter. So follow us at Bred Podcast, at BRED Podcast. Definitely love interacting with people and followers on there. We also have a lot of resources available to you by our partners. So check the show notes. I'm sure you'll find something that'll help you make money, help you in your real estate investing journey, and so much more. Also sign up for our email list. By signing up for our email list, you'll receive discounts, additional content, resources in our newsletter. Whenever any of our partners are having a sale or anything of that nature, I send to the email list first. So you definitely want to take advantage of that. And also buy our merch. Links are below and also in our link tree. It comes with a free home buyer's dictionary. So definitely appreciate all of your support. Without further ado, I'm very excited for this episode. I know you all will get a lot out of it. Let's get into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Very excited about this interview today. Here with me, I have Michelle McAllister out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Michelle, thank you so much for taking the time to speak today.
Of course. Yeah, thank you for having me. And thanks for accommodating to my schedule. I've been terrible, but I appreciate your patience. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Flexibility is the name of the game. So no problem at all. So first, I would just love to hear more about your childhood and what you saw or perhaps what you didn't see that shaped your view of what it means to build wealth.
Yes, that's a great question. So, I'm still in Philadelphia, but I grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I went to school in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson C. Smith University, to be exact. And I came back to Philly because I got a job in the pharmaceutical industry to be a pharmaceutical rep. And growing up, my dad always, and I always talk about him, he's always given me really great books. And so I had like a normal childhood, two-parent household, mom and dad. Like people used to call us like the Cosby Show. It's my sister and I have another sister that lives in Atlanta. But he always made sure that, you know, we read, and he started planting seeds like super early from when I was a kid. And I would say at the age of like 13, he gave me Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. And so I was 13 or 14 at the time. I read the book. I understood the concepts of the book, but I wasn't like applying it necessarily. And then when I got into college, I started to read it again, among other books that he would recommend to me. And so reading was just always something in our household that was taken very seriously. And I think that that really helped me develop the mindset that I needed to have to sort of build wealth. I did not come out of college thinking about building wealth. I came out of college like any other normal college student. I wanted a nice apartment in the city. I had this great corporate job that I was making, you know, great money at, and I had a company car, so I didn't have a car note. And so the first thing I did was go get this fabulous apartment in the city downtown. It was like a loft apartment, great view, and the rent was like, I want to say it was like $1,200. And then at the end of that lease, my mom said to me, you know, you really need to look at how rich you're making other people. You're making this money and you're giving it away to other people, including your landlord. And so that was like the first time I really started to think about wealth and building a legacy and doing something different with my money.
For sure. For sure. Wow. Mom had some great advice, huh?
She did. She definitely did. And, you know, she was very, she wasn't preachy about it. You know, yeah. She just asked me a simple question, like, you're going to keep giving your money away? Like, you're going to renew that lease? Is that what you're going to do? And that's it. She left the sentence there. She never said anything else. And then from there, I made some very drastic changes in my life.
Definitely, definitely. Talk to us about those changes. How did your mom saying that to you, look how rich you're making your landlord and other people, how did that change your mindset and what you did going forward?
Yeah, so number one, I tallied up that rent. So that was like a little over $14,000 for the year that I had given away. Aside from the fact that I wasn't getting any tax benefits because I was a renter. And so I had a very nice income as a pharmaceutical rep at the time. And when I looked at my tax deductions, it just were BS. All of it started to come together for me at that point. All of the books that I'd read, all the knowledge that I had consumed, it was like, it hit me. And so one of the biggest changes that I had to make was, I didn't renew my lease. They most definitely tried to get me to renew and the rent had gone up. So I think it went from like $1,200 to like $1,275. I didn't renew the lease and I moved back home with my parents at, 21, 22, which is a very difficult thing to do. I'm sure you know, after being in college on your own and then moving out to an apartment on your own, living independently, and now you're moving back home with mom and dad. But I had a plan. I was super focused. And within, I want to say like 6 months, I already had my down payment to get my first property. So I was serious.
For sure, for sure. And I know that moving back home piece for many of us, it's tough. But I think, you know, provided, of course, you know, it's a situation you can live in, I think it's an important sacrifice that can set you up for years to come. So can you talk more about, for you in particular, why that sacrifice was worth it, just moving back home until you were in a position to go out and get your own house?
Yeah, because for one, you know, you minimize your expenses. So your housing expense obviously is going to be like the biggest expense that you have. Fortunately, because I was a rep, I didn't have a car note. So look at the money that I was saving right there. I had no housing expense. I had no car note. Fortunately, at the time, I didn't have a lot of credit card debt. I had a little bit. Dumb stuff that I had purchased to move into my apartment, but it really gave me the opportunity to free up the income that I was making with my 9-to-5 and save it. At the time, I knew that real estate was the best choice for me. I didn't really understand the stock market. I felt like if I was going to make a move, I needed it to be on something that I had like a good knowledge and foundation on. I started doing a lot of research. I started taking a lot of courses. I started reading a lot of books. I just like over-educated myself on the topic to the point where when it was time for me to make the move, there was really no fear because I kind of just, I put in the work mentally to prepare myself to do it. I think a lot of people want to invest, whether it's the stock market, whether it's gold, whether it's real estate, and they see other people's success and they don't want to put in the time and the work required to come up with the knowledge so that when you do have an opportunity that comes your way, you feel really good about making it because you took the time to, you know, educate yourself. And all this was stuff that I didn't learn in college. I love my college and I'm very thankful for having gone to an HBCU. It was one of the best decisions that I could have ever made. But truthfully, I wasn't taught about real estate investing in college. That was something I had to learn on my own.
For sure, for sure. And I want to touch on something you mentioned. I think that that learning piece is something that many, many people struggle with. So, you know, I think there's a fine line between, you know, learning and taking action. But a lot of people just skip the learning altogether and jump right in, which, you know, in some instances it can be beneficial, but with something like real estate, you know, I think it's very important to gain as much knowledge as you can as you're planning to take that action. What are some of the books you read or resources that helped you just kind of mentally prepare for that purchase?
Yeah, so wow, you're taking me back a long time ago. The books back then, I actually have a book reel on my Instagram page.
Oh, perfect.
And I have like my page is a book reel and it's got like all the books listed. I can't remember perfect. Off the top of my head verbatim,
no,
but I know, like, you know, in terms of the mindset books, I read The Magic of Believing, I believe, by I know his last name is Bristol. I said Think and Grow Rich. That was like a book that was very impactful to me. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy is like one of my favorite books. The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. So all of those mindset money books. And then I read books on multiple streams of income, how to invest in like tax liens, you know, lots of books on becoming a landlord. That was like a big deal for me because I know that I wanted to self-manage my property. And so I needed to educate myself on all of the laws, like within Pennsylvania, how to deal with tenants and do it in a legal way. That's like another thing people forget about when they're investing in real estate. They just don't realize that that in and of itself is like a whole area that you need to be knowledgeable of. So those are just some of the topics that I just focused on for the 6 months that I lived at home with my parents. I pretty much just, you know, embedded myself in that type of information.
Sure. And what was that process like for you, just purchasing that first property?
Yeah, it was interesting because at the time the real estate market in Philly was like really hot, and like houses were going within like 24 hours. It was just really, really quick. It was like very much a seller's market. And so I saw a property that I wanted. My father had mentioned the neighborhood to me. It was a really good family-oriented neighborhood. And when we went, when I say we, I was myself and my parents went to look at the property, the owners and the real estate agent automatically assumed that it was my parents that were buying the house and that I was just like the college kid that was moving in with them. So no one acknowledged me at all. Like I was pretty much ignored throughout the entire process, which was fine. Like I didn't care. You could think my parents are getting the property. That's fine. I just want to get the property. So when I got the property and when I came to settlement and it was just me at settlement, the reaction on their faces was just priceless. They were, it was like almost like I was a kid. They were like, where are your parents? And I was like, it's me. I'm the one that's buying the house. And it's just like their faces drop, like. And yeah, so that happened to me a couple of times because then I started to buy in neighborhoods where maybe traditionally you don't see people of color. And so I would get people that, you know, would just, oh, are you a realtor? Are you the real estate agent? No, I'm the buyer. So throughout my journey, I've had different experiences with my color of my skin or my gender or my age. But after a while, I just came numb to it. I'm very numb to it to this day. And that's one of the reasons why for me personally, I didn't want to get a property manager because I wanted to experience that. I wanted to toughen myself up and get in this game and know what it feels like to have to go up against that force. And I felt like if I put someone in the middle, that it was not going to be a real authentic experience for me. So like now it's like, it's nothing you could try to say or do to me that would intimidate me in this process. Cause I've already been through that before. If that makes sense.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And how did it feel once you got the keys and everything and you were able to move in and you know, just 6 months of focus and discipline. And then all of a sudden you have your place.
It felt good for like a week until the plumbing went to hell and I went in my basement and there was like sewage all over the ground and it was horrific. Yeah, that's like a whole nother story. But listen, that happens when you buy real estate, right? And so it was a very good learning lesson for me. You're going to run into issues. And so do you have an emergency fund? Do you have a cash reserve set aside to be able to deal with that? And so I didn't let it affect me in terms of saying, oh, I would never do this again, or I'm not going to invest in real estate. I tell myself this, I try to tell people this, when you get a car, you know the car is going to break down. You know the car is going to need maintenance. You know the car is going to have issues. It's the same thing with a house. You get a house, the car is going to have issues. It's going to need maintenance. It's going to need repairs. Some of them are going to be very costly and expensive. Some of them aren't. The key is to try to be proactive. But I had just purchased this home. And so this didn't go through the inspection. It was just something that happened. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff happens. I would use another word in other circumstances, but I'm not going to curse on your podcast. You know, things happen. So it is what it is. I had to deal with it. But let me tell you something. That first property was the best investment that I ever made, because it laid the foundation for me to make all of these other amazing decisions in my life, whether it be to purchase other properties, whether it be to invest in myself and write my own book, self-publish a book, and I wrote that myself, starting other businesses. So just getting that one, I tell people all the time, if you just get to that one, it'll just be a world of opportunities that can open up for you. So I don't care about the sewage in the basement, because at the end of the day, that's nothing compared to the benefits that it has brought me.
For sure. For sure. And for that first property, did you use one of the down payment assistance programs or FHA or anything like that?
I use FHA. So my strategy was always buy a house, move in it, live in it, move again. I moved so many times in my 20s. That was like the running joke in my family. It's just like, oh, it's been 2 years. Michelle's about to move again. I would never get comfortable in a place of residence because I knew I wasn't going to be there long.
For sure. For sure. Can you talk more about that strategy? Because a lot of people have hear about it. They've thought about it, but maybe they've never heard about someone who has done it and, you know, what that's like and some of the benefits of that.
So, I mean, I think it's wonderful if you're single. So at the time I was single, I didn't have a family, I didn't have a husband, I didn't have a boyfriend. So it didn't matter. Like, I wanted to get in for the lowest point possible, make sure that I would be able to cover my expenses and make a profit. And then pew, I was out of there. I will say, and people say, oh, don't get emotionally attached to your properties. My first property, I do have an emotional attachment to. That was the first one. That was like where it all started for me. So I think that's BS. You can definitely have emotional attachments. Now, if something's draining you financially, then that's different. But this one was like where it all started. So for me, I did have like a sense of attachment to it. But for the others, it was literally like move in, do what I need to do, move out. I have a daughter now and I have a family. And so now I'm not that flexible to be moving that much. But if I were single, and if there are single people out there that are listening and they have the means to just pick up and move after 2 years to do what they need to do, I think it's a really great strategy. And it gives you time to prepare for the next one. I think sometimes people over leverage themselves and they want to get out there and just start buying. And then you see right now what we're going through with COVID, some of those people are really stressed out because they're over leveraged. And they may not have the type of profits that they need coming in to cover those mortgages. So I would say it works for me. It was a good strategy for me. It may not work for other people, but it works for me.
For sure. For sure. One thing I want to touch on that you mentioned is people having the means. So a lot of times people, you know, they say, oh, my job is not paying me enough or things of that nature. And I know one of the big things you focus on your page and everything that you're doing is multiple streams of income. And you know, you've over the years you've built multiple streams of income, and you know, you talk about a lot on your page and your webinars and your resources. So can you talk a bit more about why it's so important? Especially in times like these, to make sure we are adding multiple streams of income, whether it be for real estate or just for business in general.
Yeah, it's my favorite subject to talk about. And I know when you come to my page, you think landlord and stilettos, all you're going to hear about is like real estate and being a landlord. And that's far from the truth. I really do love to talk about not relying on one source of income. My experience with that came from being in the pharmaceutical industry. I've been in the pharma industry now for about 20 years. And I went through my first layoff when I was I don't remember how old I was, but I want to say I was in the role for about maybe 3-4 years. And then the pharmaceutical industry changed there. When I first joined, like healthcare was booming and pharma was booming. And then things changed, you know, certain politicians come back into office. It's like a ever revolving sort of door of change in this industry. So my first layoff, I witnessed a very good friend of mine who was the sole provider for her family and 3 kids get laid off. And it affected me. You know, we were on the phone together and I talk about this in my ebook. I have an ebook, it's called Thriving While 9-to-5 Me. And in this book, I talk about how just that conversation impacted me. She was so scared. And she was so fearful for how she was going to provide for her family. And here I am, I still had my job. You get that survivor's guilt, right? And so I felt bad, like, well, why was I chosen and she not chosen? Like, you just have this weird dynamic. Well, I went through that 16 more times throughout the course of my entire pharmaceutical career. So I've been through 17 layoffs. I've never been physically laid off, but I've watched my friends and my coworkers get laid off. I've had the fear of not knowing the night before if it was going to be, was it going to be me that was going to get that phone call? And then I was like, you know what? This is BS. I'm not going to be giving my soul to a company or an organization that at any moment can say, you know what? We don't need you anymore. And I try to tell people, you know, I had somebody on my page today leave a comment, irritates me. She's like, oh, I reposted your post,
I
right?
So I reposted your post. And got a bunch of followers
individual, on top of that. No problem. You post great content. So I'm happy to do it. So someone mentioned, and I get this a lot, let me tell the audience what your post was about. Your post was about basically, you know, making $50,000 a year, and then you get, well, you do it. You'd be far better describing it than I would. What was your post about?
So it was basically make $50,000 a year, you get 3% raise, and this is about what you would get. And I said, do you see the problem here? Why aren't you learning about more streams of income or learning about real estate? Basically to challenge all of us, because it's like for the majority of people are not getting that huge bump every year, or maybe even a bonus, whatever it is. The majority of people are getting a set raise every year, provided they don't get fired or laid off. So it's basically just to challenge people, like, look, we need to collectively, individually add other things, you know?
Exactly. And so when you say that, there's always going to be that one person that responds by saying, but if you're happy, then you don't have to worry about that. If you're happy in your job, don't worry about that. Are you kidding me? I've been happy in plenty of jobs and still made sure that I built something on the side. Companies don't give a damn about your happiness at the end of the day. You have to do it while you're happy. So you don't build these streams when you're miserable and when you're fearful about getting laid off, because how creative can you be in a moment like that? That's a very stressful time to go through a layoff, to not know whether or not you're going to be able to provide for your family. That's a tough time to be thinking about building multiple streams of income. No, you do it when you're happy. You do it when you have a job and things are going great and you say, you know what? I'm feeling good. The checks are rolling in. Let me create something else over here on the side for myself as well. That's just my feeling.
For sure. For sure. I agree with you. I agree. I just tell people that a lot, because how can I invest in real estate? My job. And I get it, but it's like you have talents. There's stuff you could do. It doesn't cost a lot of money to start up. And over time, it can provide that capital that you need to, you know, invest in real estate or whatever it is you want to do. For sure. It's a very interesting conversation. And so you recently transitioned from your 9-to-5 to get into entrepreneurship full time. So can you talk to us about what that process was like and kind of, I guess, an overview of what it took to get to a point where you felt like you could make that move? Because, you know, I know a lot of us, that's what we aspire to do, but it's different when you see someone who looks like you who is able to do it.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely didn't come without lots of sleepless nights and stress and waking up, you know, with sweat on my forehead, asking myself, is this what I really want to do? On top of the fact that, you know, my family comes from two schools of thought. So I had my father, who is the dreamer, who is that you can do anything you want, go after whatever you want and risk it all. I had my mother, who's very practical, who's a very show me the money first before you want to run off and go do something. And also, you are making six figures. You're in a beautiful, glossy pharmaceutical job. Why would you ever walk away from that for something that's not guaranteed? So I have these like two dichotomies that I'm fighting against. And I really needed to just listen to myself, because the truth of the matter is that I was, so back then I was a pharmaceutical rep. 20 years later, I had transitioned into all different types of roles, whether it was that I was at one point a consultant for pharmaceutical companies, but the core of what I've always done has always been training and learning and development. And so I was with a really great pharmaceutical company. I was inside their learning and development department, and it was in Bridgewater, New Jersey, which I don't know, you're from New York, so you would know Bridgewater is like 2 hours from Philly. So my commute every day was 2 hours up, 2 hours back. Well, 4 hours out of my day was just getting to work, not to mention being at work all day. And then I'm away from my daughter. And so after doing this for like a year, I was like, something has to give. I've been building since I was 22, 23 from that first property that I bought. And I figured, like, F it, it's now or never. Like, I have these income streams. I have more ideas and more creative ventures that I want to pursue. My advice to people is to build a bridge. That's what I always like to tell folks, right? So for some people do really well with their back against the wall and the pressure of, you know what, I don't care. I'm gonna quit today and I'm gonna go work this out tomorrow and it's gonna be successful. That's great. I'm not really like that because I got my mom in one ear and my father in the other ear. And right. So I kind of need a little bit more like practicality around taking that move because it's so risky. And so I took the time to build a bridge. And building a bridge, I mean, I had my income streams rolling in. I had emergency funds set aside. I had made sure that I would be in a position to not feel the tension of quitting a job and not having any type of financial backing to support me during that time. And so far, it's working out.
That's amazing. That's amazing. There's one thing you mentioned that I really, that I want to make sure we don't miss. You mentioned building a bridge, and with the internet, with social media, there's a lot of 9-to-5 shaming. There's a lot of people saying, oh, just quit. And, but it's like the majority of us need a bridge, you know, everyone is not.
I hate the job shamers. And when I started Landlord in Stilettos, I was still working. And one of the things that I think attracted people to my page is that I started hitting back at the people that were job shaming people. It's nothing wrong with having a job. People, we need people to have jobs. What would we be doing right now if there weren't nurses and doctors that were going to work every day to take care of sick people? So people that job shame are like, just, I don't even want to give them any energy. But what I do think is important is that you can have a job, but you can still build something and have multiple streams of income. It's not an either or. Mm-hmm. It's not a, well, I have a job, so I can't do that. No, it's I have a job and I'm going to do that. And that's how you start building that bridge. I think at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer, you know, do what you want to do that makes yourself happy. But I personally have witnessed too many people that were so in love with their job. And when the day came that the job showed them that they weren't in love with them, they were devastated. I'm talking about having an identity crisis. You know how you meet some people and the first thing that you say to them is, hey, how are you? What's your name? What do you do? The first thing they say is their job title. Oh, I'm a pharmaceutical rep, or, oh, you know, I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm not one of those people. Like, it's not going to be the first thing that's going to come out of my mouth. I don't define myself by any job. But for those people that feel so defined by their jobs, those are the ones that I worry about. And that's kind of why I feel like I'm on my mission.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree 100%. I had another real estate question. So you did also mention earlier in the conversation that you self-manage. And, you know, there are people who, I mean, there's thoughts about both. There are people who do self-manage. There are people who have property managers. And there are people who have some of both. So can you talk about, just in your experience, how it's been helpful to you and perhaps some of the also challenges that you've experienced over the years as well?
Yeah. So, and I respect everyone's position and people have to do what's, you know, best for them. So I'm never one to tell someone what to do. I just have to do what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I had a property manager for, I want to say, 6 months. And it was just a very bad experience. Maybe I had a rotten apple, but I just felt like he was being paid to be a middleman. And truthfully, I, at the time, was trying to avoid having to deal with my tenants, number one. Number two, I used my property manager as a crutch to not keep myself educated and informed. I felt like that was his job. That's what I was paying him to do. And I don't think that that's a good way to go about doing business, especially when you own something as expensive and as litigious in nature as real estate. And so again, I figured, you know what, I'm just going to remove the middleman and I will figure this out on my own. One of the biggest challenges for me when I was self-managing was just where to go to find information. Because when you go online or you just Google stuff, you're just going to get a lot of information and you're not going to know what's right, what's wrong. And it's one of the new online businesses that I'm creating now. It's called Quick Landlord Forms. And so that was developed out of a need to find an attorney-reviewed, state-specific lease that I could use that would not only protect myself, but also protect my tenants. It's very easy to go on Google today and just get a random lease. I don't want just a random lease. I put a lot of time, effort, and energy into investing and buying my property. I want to make sure that it is being protected appropriately. And so Quick Landlord Forms is one of my online businesses that helps landlords, do-it-yourself landlords like myself, you know, with your legal documents. And so we have a team of lawyers and property managers. It's not just me. Landlord and Stilettos is all me, but Quick Landlord Forms is like a whole team behind me, and I'm really excited about launching that. We kind of took a pause now because of COVID, but once we get through COVID, we'll be launching really soon.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Yeah, I've been keeping up. No, it's definitely very needed. And I think it's great that there'll be a place where people can come no matter where they live and receive resources and documents. It's one less thing to think about, and especially, you know, it's been vetted. But, you know, I think if you didn't have that experience self-managing, you probably would not have even thought about this idea and the need for a company like Quick Landlord Forms.
And so that's the beauty of finding things out and doing things for yourself and not necessarily always. Now, listen, I do believe there are times when you need to hire people and you need help, but you can get so many ideas by doing things yourself and finding that need. So many people want to start online businesses and they're like, but I don't know where to start. Find a need. And you can find that right in your own wheelhouse, right? Like, I have a daughter, and there are tons of things that I see, like ideas for like children's companies. I'm not going to ever probably pursue that necessarily, but there's someone listening right now that has a kid and says, gosh, I wish I had, or I need ABC. I wish someone would invent XYZ. No, you should do that. You should be the one to create and do that. There's your idea and your niche right there. So many people just ignore that calling, and I've learned now to not ignore that calling.
Absolutely. I agree. Speaking of your daughter, how involved is she? How much does she know about what mom is doing in real estate and various.
Too much.
How old is she again?
She's 6 years old. Okay. She knows way too much. she understands that we own property. Mm-hmm. Her father as well owns property. So she gets it like from both ends. She understands online business. You know, kids these days, they're growing up with the internet. So like, I don't know how old you are, but for me, there are things that I'm having to like learn and figure out where it's like YouTube and all this stuff for her is second nature. She understands that we have online businesses. She knows now like mommy needs to go downstairs and record for a podcast. She gets it. Like, she's super smart, but I don't try to overwhelm her with stuff. I'm not sitting down with her at dinner like, all right, let's talk about cap rate. We got to figure this out. You need to be, no, we are so not doing that. But I do teach her about budgeting. I teach her that things cost money and things are expensive. She just broke my iPad, and she, yeah, I know, it's like, oh, not the iPad, mind you, we're in quarantine mode right now. So like the iPad in some instances is saving me because she has a distraction when she's not doing her schoolwork.
Right.
And so now there's no iPad and she's in my face 24/7 and I'm debating like, do I get another device? But I need her to understand that's very expensive and mommy's not just going to up and buy something as soon as you break it. So she understands money and the concept of money, but I just want her to be a kid and enjoy her upbringing. There will be time for us to sit down and talk about cap rates.
For sure. I mean, I think it's just very cool the fact that she even has that exposure. You know, it's getting into her mind. And, you know, by the time she's of age and she's older, she'll probably realize everything that she saw. Or because, you know, as kids, as we grow up as adults, we think about our experiences and the things we do, the way we think. And a lot of it is based on what we saw in our parents. And so I think she'll definitely be a lot further ahead than the average kid based on what she's being exposed to right now.
We have, I call them financial statement tees. And so I have some t-shirts and there's a couple for kids and she has one, it says Future Landlord. She does the modeling for it on the website.
Wow.
If you click on my website and you click on the t-shirts, you'll see her. And she understands that when someone purchases a t-shirt, if it's her specifically, it goes into a specific account for her. So she makes sure to bug me all the time, like, are you promoting the t-shirts? What's happening with the t-shirt line? Like, where is my t-shirt? So she's very aware and I get her involved. That's cool. Where appropriate, but I still want her to be a kid and have fun.
Definitely. What have been some of your biggest challenges in real estate and in business?
So for real estate in the beginning, it was just my mindset. I was insecure about being so young and being a Black woman. I think I was probably in my head with it more than other people really cared. There were instances where I definitely felt that energy from people that, you know, I would show the property and they would say, oh, well, when the owner, could you ask the owner? And it would be like, no, I'm the owner. Like, I'm the owner. And there would be a reaction like, oh, and maybe some people didn't want to rent from me because I was young or I was African-American or I was female. I don't know. But now I don't care. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. Like, just go someplace else. So I think in the beginning it was just getting out of my own way. With business, I think the biggest issue for me was just, and I harp about this all the time, but it's just believing in yourself to the point where you just go for it. I think on the internet, it's so easy to compare yourself to other people because people are posting how much money they make, how much money they brought in online sales, how many properties they own, how successful they are. And that's great. That's definitely inspirational. But I also think it gives people this false sense of, well, this must be easy. And it's not. I work harder on my businesses than I ever did at my 9-to-5. I'm up till 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning some nights creating content. Unless I do like a repost, which is not that often, I'm creating all my own content. I have a freelance company where I still do pharmaceutical training, where I'm on the computer late nights in different time zones, people in other countries. It's a lot, but it's worth it because it's for me. I don't have to answer to anyone. And that was the ultimate goal for me. I don't like answering to people. I don't like asking for vacation time. I don't like asking for permission. I became a bad employee after a while. I'm just going to say that. Like, after a while, they'd be like, oh, let's do your performance review and let's go through 5 strategic imperatives you can work on. And I'll just be like, oh my God, I really don't care. But I have to pretend like I care. Yeah. And I even hated to have to say that because some people might think, oh my gosh, she's so ungrateful. If I had a 6-figure job, I would be happy. And that's the mentality that I'm trying to get our people to get out of, this whole, oh, you should be grateful. You should be happy. You can be grateful and you can be happy building your own as well. There's nothing wrong with self-ownership. There's nothing wrong with wanting to create something for yourself and leaving a legacy for your family. I was grateful and very appreciative for all the opportunities that have come into my life. But I also knew that I felt like God was pushing me in a different direction and I couldn't ignore that anymore. Sorry, I know I was super long-winded right now.
No, that was good. That was perfect. That was good. And one thing you mentioned there was that you do pharmaceutical trainings. So I think that's a perfect, I think that's great because you're taking a skill you built in your 9-to-5 and now you're using it for your own business. And I feel like a lot of us, I mean, at the end of the day, we were all hired at wherever we worked for a reason. That means we must be good at some aspect of the job. And with that, I believe there's a lot of opportunity to use that skill outside of the 9-to-5 as well. So can you talk more about that in particular and just how building up that skill has enabled you to freelance and be able to utilize that skill on your own?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, freelancing has changed my life, and I wish that I was bold enough to take that step years ago, but I just wasn't. I always felt like guaranteed was better than not knowing, right? So that guaranteed paycheck every 2 weeks for me was just better than you don't know when you're going to get paid. And now my mindset is reversed in that I will take that any day over the other. And so, yes, I've been in the industry for a very long time. I've built up my resume to be spectacular. Why would I just throw that out the window just because I want to invest in real estate and do online businesses? It's all connected and it's all linked together. I'm still able to train and do exactly what I did in a 9-to-5 capacity, but I do it for my own company. And yes, is it risky? Sure. Are there some months where I don't have freelance work coming in? Sure. But that's not the only source of income that I have. So people shouldn't look at becoming a freelancer, in my opinion, as the new job. It's an additional income stream on top of the other streams that you have going on for yourself. But for me, it's been great because number one, it was allowing me to travel internationally. So if I had stayed in my 9-to-5 for the most part, I was literally working, if not in the office, then in a cubicle. And with freelancing, I'm able to travel. I was in Europe. I went to Brussels right before this COVID outbreak happened. It was an amazing experience. I get to choose the clients that I want to work with. So if I'm busy or I want to spend time with my daughter that week or that month, I can turn it down and no one's upset or angry at me about it. It just offers a new level of freedom that I didn't know that I would be able to experience. So it's just one of the many income streams that I'm beginning to develop and build. And so far, it's going really well.
For sure. For sure. I know, you know, you're very big on online business as well. And one thing that I've seen, I think many of us have seen, is that, you know, everyone's at home, they're on their devices. It seems like a perfect time for digital products and for online promotion and things of that nature. So it's a very unfortunate time, of course. There's a lot of loss. Everyone's experiencing loss to some degree. But on the flip side of it, there's also a lot of opportunity. So where do you see, in your opinion, online business, e-commerce, where do you see that going in the future based on the changes we've seen in, I guess, the last month?
Yeah, so even before these changes, I just knew that the wave was going towards online. I mean, that's how we shop, right? Like, that's how we connect with people. That's how we communicate. We're always on our phones. We're always texting. I think that it's only going to get bigger and better. And building courses, writing ebooks, writing good ebooks, building good courses, right? Not just BS, not putting stuff out or content out, putting a crazy price tag on it and expecting people to purchase it. I think the people that are going to really be successful moving forward are the creators. And the creators are people like you and me that are willing to put ourselves out there on this whole internet world where there are trolls and bullies and people that want to try to bring you down, and you still move past that. And in spite of the opposition, you have a message and a mission, right? And so whatever your medium is, whether it be digital products, whether it be a YouTube channel, whether it be a podcast, whatever medium it is that you use, you don't care about any type of opposition that might come your way. The world is going to belong to the creators, the people who were fearless enough to put their middle finger up at the people who are too cowardly to go out there and try something different and do something new for themselves. And that's where I'm at with it. if you are criticizing what I'm doing, which I know is super positive and bringing hope and inspiration and providing education to people, you want to criticize me for that, I'm going to look very carefully at what you're doing, which is probably nothing, and then you're going to get the middle finger. So I think the world is going towards the people like you and me that are willing to put the middle finger up to people who, you know, are too afraid to take a step forward.
For sure. For sure. I agree. And then, so what tips would you give to someone who's interested in real estate? And I like to say about business, who's interested in real estate, but maybe they're afraid. They don't know where to start. They feel like they don't have enough money. They're just kind of lost. What are some tips you would give to someone in that situation?
First, I would say follow my page, right? Because I think we give out really great free content for people who don't know where to start. I know what that feels like to be just, wow, I want to do something, but I don't know where I should begin. The first place is reading books. People just want to bypass that part. You can't. The first thing people want to do is hop in your DM and say, help me figure this out. No, that's not my job. That's not my job to help you figure this out. You got to want this for yourself. I can't want this for you. So people got to read books. They have to take courses, reasonably priced courses. If you're taking a course that's $5,000, that's ridiculous. You could be buying your property with that. Yes, I'm going to say that. Maybe somebody has a course out there for $5,000, I think it's ridiculous. I think that if you are a first-time person buying a home as an investment property, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars on anybody's course. A couple hundred dollars or maybe even less than that can give you the basic fundamentals to help you understand the steps that you need to take to get to where you want to go. Joining coaching groups is great. You see, the last thing I'm mentioning here and saying is finding a mentor, because I also think sometimes that's BS. People like to use that as a crutch. Oh, I need a mentor. I can't get started. I need to find me a mentor, someone that's going to hold my hand. No, everybody's not going to agree to hold your hand throughout this process. I had to be my own mentor. I didn't have a mentor. I still don't have a mentor. So, no. Don't necessarily hang your coat on that. If you can find someone that's willing to serve in that capacity, then great. But don't just hang your hat on, because to me, that's an excuse. That's like, well, until I find that person, I can't make a move. No, you can still make a move in spite of not having that person. So that would be like the first steps I would give.
For sure. And what tips would you give to someone who wants to start their own business? And wants to start to build those additional streams of income outside of their 9-to-5?
I mean, above and beyond, like I said before, reading the books and taking the courses and educating yourself, at some point you need to just take action. And you have to just get over whatever it is you're going through psychologically, the fear, the apprehension, the nervousness. You got to make a move. When I first started Landlord and Stilettos, it was actually, I don't think you knew this or not, it was thriving and prosperous. Did you know that was the name of my page? Yeah, it was Thriving and Pride. Yeah, I had like a BS logo and it was called Thriving and Prosperous, and it was so not me. Like, I was trying to imitate what I was seeing online, particularly on Instagram, and it was not authentic, and I just changed everything. And I said, I'm going to be true to myself. I've worked in corporate America now for 20 years, and I've always had to be this like watered down version of myself. If I'm going to start my own business, I need to be me and be authentic. And the people that I resonate with will come to me, and those that won't will go away. And so then it became Landlord and Stilettos. But I would say just go for it. Take the risk, but do it while you still have a 9-to-5 if you can, because then it's not so much a risk anymore. It's like this really cool, fun project that you're working on, but you're taking it as serious as you would take your job.
For sure. And you have a lot going on. You're doing a whole lot of cool things. You have your membership that's kicking off. You have a whole lot that's going on. So can you just talk us through what you have going on? And just promote the cool things you have coming up?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We all love to promote. So I have a membership group. It's called the Pinnacle Membership Group. And so Pinnacle is really for people who are interested in everything that we talked about here today. The whole focus of it is multiple streams of income. And I have three pillars, which is real estate investing, entrepreneurship, and personal development. So every month, there will be a live masterclass on all of these topics. I will be the host, but I'll also have guest speakers that come in. And it's really just all about community and having a group of like-minded individuals that want to take their life in a different direction. So if you have a 9-to-5 job, this would be perfect for you. I have tons of people that have signed up that are full-time entrepreneurs that want to get more information about, you know, marketing and different things around entrepreneurship. So that is going to be huge for me right now, because my focus is really going to be around, I want to connect with the people that want to learn. It's one thing to put up an Instagram post. You can't get an entire financial education off an Instagram post. You just can't. There's so much more that I have to give and that I want to share. And in light of COVID, I do have an early bird special. So I think it's super reasonable. It's $19 a month. That price is going to go up to $30. But for now, you can join for $19 a month. And yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a lot of folks that are interested and have signed up, and I'm looking forward to engaging with them.
For sure. That's, what is it, $63 a day?
63 cents a day.
That's a good deal if you ask me.
Exactly. And then I have an ebook, Thriving While 9-to-5ing, and that book is exactly what we just talked about here today. It's for the person that has a job, but they want to start building income streams. I cover 9 viable income streams, not BS income streams. I'm not telling you to do stuff that I haven't done myself already. But if you join the Pinnacle membership group, you'll get the ebook and a video diary series that goes with it. But it's also available as a standalone product as well. And then last but not least, I have my actual hard copy book, which is here. And so this is a book that this was like back when I purchased my first property. And then after I started investing in real estate, I said, you know what, I want to write a book. And people thought I was crazy, but that's good. People always think that I'm crazy. So this book, 22 Life Principles for the Ultimate Woman, is also available on my website, landlordandstilettos.com. And that book is really just about motivation, going after your goals. Is for like the self-empowered woman or man. Men have purchased it too.
Sure. That's awesome. Wow. This has been a great interview. We'll definitely have all that information in the show notes. And also, where can people find you if they want to, you know, connect further, follow what you're doing, keep up to date with all your products and everything?
Yeah, so at Landlord in Stilettos on Instagram. I have a podcast, the Landlord in Stilettos podcast.
Very good.
There's a Facebook page. Thank you. There's a Facebook page, the Landlord in Stilettos Facebook page, and then my website, www.landlordandstilettos.com. I do have a YouTube channel, but I'm not done anything with it, and I feel terrible. So I need to up my game with YouTube. Maybe you can give me some tips later on about how to, you know, up my YouTube game, but I haven't really done much with YouTube.
Definitely. Yeah, no, it's something I've been thinking about too. It's just another great opportunity. But yeah, we can definitely talk some more about it. Wow, this was a great interview. I really appreciate just your transparency, and it's just great to see your journey from where you started with, you know, your first property and just adding streams of income and building your bridge over the years. And now you're in a position where, you know, you still have your whole life ahead of you and you're working on your own income streams, working on your own business and helping other people to learn how to fish. So I think it's just very, very inspirational. It's great for us to see in our community, of course. But overall, I think it's just great. I'm inspired. You know, I'm definitely inspired to keep pushing. And like I said, you've been very influential in my growth and helping me to improve things on my page. So I'm always tuned into your information and attending webinars as much as I can. So I want to say thank you as well.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you for having me on here. I really appreciate it. And thank you for all that you're doing. Your podcast is amazing. The content that you put out is great. And I'm glad that the internet gods brought us together.
Sure. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast, at BRED Podcast. Thank you so much. Look forward to connecting with you all soon.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings. Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.